Lord, you are King of all kings, Lord of all lords. You sit on the throne, and I just proclaim your name. You're holy God. You love your people. You desire for the world to know you. You love the world. That's why you gave up the best of you, God. You gave the best of you for us. So, Lord, I just give you praise and I lift you up and I ask that you would pour your Holy Spirit out on anyone listening to this. You'd pour it out abundantly. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan and welcome to Knowing Jesus. To believe in Jesus is an amazing thing, but to understand is better. Amen. To lay hold of him and to know him from personal experience is far more magnificent, far more life-changing. James chapter 2, verse 19 says that even the demons believe and tremble. Believing it only gets you so far. It's letting it sink deep down into your heart, your mind, and your soul. That's what really matters. That's what counts. It's no wonder that this is the kind of love Jesus is looking for from his people. When he was asked which one was the greatest commandment, he said to love your neighbor as yourself. And he also said to love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And let me just stop right there and say that you and I are incapable of doing that. Okay, you are not able to do that. Loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul and strength is not in you, nor to love your neighbor as yourself. If you've been a believer for any time, you can see that. That is just above our heads. And so many believers fall away and live discouraged lives. It's like when they come to the revelation that they still have a sin nature and they're haunted by their sinfulness. It just paralyzes them. And I know that from my own personal experience. We're so paralyzed, right? And, you know, I'm not connected. I'm not loving God with all my heart because I don't feel connected to him. And we go through all this stuff. And, you know, this kind of love comes from Jesus Christ within you. When you're born again, the Spirit of Christ is in you, and it's his power that brings out that kind of love. Worshiping Jesus continually, with eyes continually fixed only on him, that's going to produce those kind of changes in you, the kind of changes that you couldn't accomplish in a lifetime. We don't ever get a chance to worship Jesus because we're too busy trying to be like Jesus. And failing at it. You know, we don't ever get a chance to worship him because we're too busy just sitting in self-pity about how unworthy we are and how horrible we are. But here's the thing. We take our failures, our fears, our inadequacies, our unworthiness, our imperfections, our sins, and we lift them up to Jesus. Amen. And we praise him. Then watch him manifest himself in our souls. And that, my friends, is as good as it gets. That's the good life. That's the good life. And for this reason, I'm going to be discussing the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. Now, many people think this is about salvation only, people who have not really been saved. But this is just my opinion. I believe God laid this in my heart, but I believe this is for everyone. I believe Jesus is speaking to anyone who wants to know more about him. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Jesus said, hey, I made this for the believers. I mean, he said the kingdom of God is like, you know, that's how he starts it. So, I mean, I believe it's for people who don't believe in him or for people who believe in him. But it's for everyone. And everyone in the parable accepted Christ or accepted the word, you know. They all accepted. So I believe it's for everyone, especially if you're a born-again believer. I think that he really wants us, Jesus, to understand the concept of laying hold on him and bearing fruit, and the kind of fruit that affects not only you, but everyone around you. I believe he uses this parable. I really think that he's trying to expose all the ways that you trick yourself into thinking that you are abiding in him. All the ways that professing Christians, or not professing Christians, make themselves believe that they're spiritual. So let's jump in right now. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. When a large crowd was coming together and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil, and grew up, and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, and I love this, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And just imagine a crowd of people. And scripture says that he fed 5,000. So there at least could be 5,000 people, these messages. He's getting up and screaming, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So this, our Lord is trying to tell us that this is important. Amen. This is important stuff. His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Amen. Well, you know, first thing is I want to just mention when, you know, Jesus said, when he's about to give his explanation, he said, you know, "To you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Jesus allows his disciples to get in on the explanation because they sought after it. Other people heard it, but they walked away. Being a good disciple is always about knowing Jesus, knowing more about Jesus and approaching him more for understanding of his ways. And he will reveal himself to you. He will reveal himself. But he won't spoon feed you the good stuff, right? He's just not going to spoon feed. He's not just going to go give that stuff out for you, you know, without anyone trying to seek him. And sometimes, bless, he's merciful enough to do that. But by nature, when he came here, he wouldn't just go and say, "Hey, I'm God." No, you know, he would do things that would draw people in to inquire and to get to see, wow, there's something about him. And likewise, he does that with his wisdom. You know, we ask, we seek, we knock, and he will give us himself. And he will give us himself abundantly. Let's also make it known that Jesus is the Word. Right? He is the Word. So it says the seed was the Word, but we can even go further with that. Again, taking it further, taking what we know and going further, because John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Then down to verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh." So we can safely interpret that the sower is God and the seed is Jesus, who is God. He's both the sower and the seed. Amen. The soil is the condition of our hearts, our minds, and our souls, as you'll see. Now, I'm not gonna spend such a huge time harping on all this stuff because Jesus gives an explanation, and I just encourage you to go for yourself, pick it up, meditate on it, praise him for it. But I believe this parable characterizes the kingdom. I believe it characterizes much of what's going on today. So many of us can fall into this category. Now, you have the seed that fell by the road, by the rocky ground, and on the thorns. And many people, we hear about Jesus and we don't understand him. And Jesus makes it clear that Satan takes advantage of that. If you don't take time to understand Jesus Christ, Satan is taking advantage of you. And you know what? I'm inclined to say that if you are a believer and you are not taking time to understand your Jesus, Satan is taking advantage of you. He's robbing you. He's robbing you. And I feel Jesus wants us to know that. And for some people, it's causing them their salvation. It's causing them their salvation. And it's much like the people who didn't come back for further explanation, right? They were hearing the heart of God from God himself, and they walked away without any understanding. They just walked away. And, you know, remember, we would do the same thing unless we had his, you know, I don't want us to start, hey, well, what's up with them, man? They really missed out. Well, you know, without the Spirit of Christ, we would do the same thing. But we have the Spirit of Christ to convict us if we're born again. You know, so similarly, people hear and believe with partial understanding, like the seed that fell by the rocky ground. They get excited, but they're not excited in Jesus. They're not rooted in Jesus. You see, Jesus says that they get joyful for a while and then they just kind of fall away. And that joy was not grounded in the Word or Jesus Christ. You know, maybe it was their emotions or their feelings, I don't know what it is, but they just fell away because it wasn't rooted in him. So you got the people who heard God, heard Jesus Christ, believed, but didn't understand. And you had the people who heard it, believed it, had some kind of understanding with it, but they didn't root it in Jesus Christ. And then they fell away. And again, I'm going to stop and say, if you have a relative or, you know, you go to church or whatever it is, if you're being exposed to the things of God, to Jesus Christ, and you're not trying to understand and being and getting deeper, it's gonna be lost and you're gonna be missing out. That's what Jesus Christ is trying to get you to understand. He wants you to know that he really is a good shepherd. He really is a good shepherd. Good shepherds lead and they guide. He's trying to lead right now. He really is trying to lead us and say, this is how you enter into the abundant life. And this is how you can be deceived and distracted. Then you have the category where I know I lived in for many years, all right? And I know, and it's plaguing the church. It's plaguing believers. But the last person heard the word of God, and they walked their own way. That's what it said. You know, it fell among the thorns, you know. And those are the people. They heard the word of God, and they walked their own way. In other words, they heard the word of God, and they said, cool, word of God. Went back to their own life. Went back to their real world, back to their own efforts. Back to, you know, they you know, you read the scriptures, you know, you have your little devotion, couple of minutes, maybe 30 minutes, and then you go to work and you just back to your world. You go to church once a week, you hear the word for an hour, then you go back to your world. And that's what it is. And guess what happens? We don't understand why we stumble in the worry and temptation of the world, while we're worried and we're anxious all the time, while we keep finding ourselves caught into addictions and we're just being kicked by them, and we're discouraged, and we're not even trying to pursue God because, like I said in the beginning, we start being more preoccupied about our imperfections rather than worshiping God, you know. And this is the way that a lot of us fall into. We just go right back to our own lives, as if Jesus Christ is religion. And that's a separate thing. And then there's just reality of bills and relationships and problems and physical health and all that stuff. And it's not so. It's, you know, here's the good way. Hear the word in an honest and good heart, then lay hold of it. Amen. Lay hold of it. And that word is Jesus. Lay hold of him. Get familiar with him. Praise him. Worship him. Read about him. Meditate on him. Listen to him continually. Let his words richly dwell within you. And while that's happening, he's already bearing the fruit in you. He's already changing you. This is the good way. This is the abundant eternal life. This is how you do it. You lay hold of Jesus Christ. You make him your firm foundation, your firm rock, continually fixing your eyes on him. It doesn't tire me to say it. Continually fix your eyes on Jesus. Put everything else down to the side and just look to him continually. Praise him continually. If you believe in Jesus, lay hold of him, seek him, understand him, and worship him. If you don't believe in Jesus, lay hold of him, seek him, understand him, and worship him. Amen? It's all about Jesus. He's for everyone. We need more of him. None of us is excluded. When I'm done speaking here, I'm going to go praise the Lord. We all need him. We need to be focusing on him and praising him. And you're going to be blessed forever. And yeah, I can promise you that, but who cares about my promise? I'm just a man, right? He says it. In John 6:40, he says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds," that's an active word, lifting Jesus up continually, "everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up the last day." You become born again, and you are sealed forever by the Spirit. But don't miss out on the rest of the gospel by neglecting to behold. Don't miss out by neglecting to behold and understand him. So behold the Lord, lay hold of him, be blessed today. God bless you. Bye-bye.